Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I'm a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening. This episode of the Dating Advice Girl podcast is sponsored by dating app Hashtag Open. What does being open mean to you? At Hashtag Open, it means approaching experiences and relationships with an open mind. You'll find people of all genders, sexual orientations, and relationship styles on Hashtag Open. Friendship, fun, love, lust, connection, and intimacy, you choose your experience on the dating app Hashtag Open. Toss out the traditional dating rulebook and try something different. Meet your matches on Hashtag Open and find me at hashtagopen.com/Erin. That's hashtagopen.com/Erin. You can download it for free now in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Okay, so I'm so excited to have dating expert Damona Hoffman with me. Hi, Damona.
Hey, Erin.
I don't know why I'm yelling. My instinct is always yell. Sorry, she's right next to me.
Inside voices. Confidential voice. That's what I tell my clients to do. To use a confidential voice to draw someone in.
Oh, yeah. And sexy voice. Confidential.
Confidential. We have a secret to tell you all today.
Oh, we have a lot to tell you today. Before we get into that, let me introduce you to Damona Hoffman. Here we go. It's always a little weird reading the bio in front of the guest, but I think it's fun because guess what? She's accomplished and you should know about it. So here we go. Damona Hoffman is a certified dating coach, radio host, and TV personality. Damona starred in the TV series Hashtag Black Love and A Question of Love on A&E Networks. She hosts the Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman radio show and podcast, because she's been in the game a long time, okay? Just like I have. We know what we're doing. She is the love expert for BET.com, and she writes for the Washington Post's long-running column, Date Lab. Damona was a finalist for iDate's Best Dating Coach of 2014 and 2016, has been named one of the top dating experts in LA by DatingAdvice.com, and she's made hundreds of media appearances on NBC, Fox, Animal Planet, Sirius XM, Woman's Day Magazine, Essence Magazine, People Magazine, Own Magazine.
Oprah Mag. I was the cover story in the February Valentine's
Day issue.
You know, I keep busy. I do little things here and there.
Damona's very humble. I think that needs to go in the bio.
No, that I'm humble? I should put that
in. You put that in there,
too. Humble.
I love it.
No, but I mean, I've been giving people dating advice and relationship advice for like 15 years.
Wow, yeah.
And this is what I love doing. This is what I do on Dates and Mates podcast every week. So,
yes,
we found some advice for the ages.
Oh my gosh. So buckle your seatbelts, everybody. If you follow me on Instagram, then you saw me post this a couple weeks ago. Somebody shared with me an article from McCall's magazine. So I don't remember ever seeing this magazine, but I have heard about it. It was a big magazine back in the day. So basically, this is 1958 dating advice for specifically single women. In McCall's magazine, 1958. It is, I dare I say, you know, we have a long way to go, but we've come a long way, and you'll hear why in 2 seconds when we read some of this advice. Damona, you've already kind of looked through some of it. What are your general thoughts about what we have witnessed in this article?
This might be a little different for you, but my initial impression, Erin, is that actually, I was surprised at how many things I still recommend today.
Interesting.
And I'm like, I'm a modern dating coach, and I'm realizing, but you're peddling 1950s advice. No, but there were some things that stood out as just so socially inappropriate now.
Like, yes. Let's just jump in. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's jump in and do it.
Can you read the number? Because there's 129 tips from this magazine. We're going to jump around, but like, just so you know, like, they're, I don't know if they're ranked in some order or not, but whatever. Here we go.
Now I'm looking through. Wait.
Here, I'll start it off with one of the most ridiculous ones that I remember, or that I read. Here we go. Are you ready? Number 115. Rent a billboard and post your picture and telephone number on it.
So many things and thoughts and feelings and problems with that. First of all, you better be wealthy, ladies. You better be wealthy if you're going to rent a billboard and put your name. Can you imagine in the 1950s a single woman putting her name and phone number on a billboard?
I can't imagine anyone doing it now. Like, you got to make him work for your number. And it's not even your number now. Like, put your Instagram handle.
Yeah, probably,
so
yes.
So he can DM you.
Wait, what's the woman in L.A. who drives around the pink car?
Angeline.
Yeah, that's like Angeline style.
Oh, but Angeline has a racket because she gets paid. Like, she now does this thing where she, she'll pick somebody to get a free ride with Angeline. But it's not a free ride, because at the end, she's like, do you want a picture?
Okay.
But then she charges you, like, $500 for the picture. So that's basically what we should be doing, ladies.
Yeah.
We should be, like, you want to take me on a date? Sure,
yeah.
Let's go on a date. And then at the end, you know.
Pay up.
No, I'm kidding.
By the way, for those of you not in L.A., Angeline is, like, this mythical creature figure of a woman who was really a big deal in the 80s, kind of before a Kim Kardashian. She would put billboards of herself, like, basically, like, kind of pin-up pictures. She'd wear about all pink, kind of like a Barbie in a way. And I don't think she really
did. Pink Cadillac, too, I think.
Pink Cadillac or some sports car or something.
Some kind of convertible.
But I don't think she really did anything, did she? Was she promoting anything?
She doesn't do anything but pose for pictures and drive her car.
And she's legendary in this town, though. It's like people get excited when they see her.
And
the
now
kids
she's
don't
like
80? Know.
She's like 80 now and still wearing, like, a little bustier.
Oh, yeah, I see her in my neighborhood sometimes.
So that's how you can catch a man. Obviously, it worked well.
Exactly.
Angela. There was one that I can't find now. But there was one that was about go to law school or become a secretary.
Oh, no.
Wait, let me find this one.
Okay,
I really want to find it.
I'm going to keep going with all the craziness.
Keep going.
This one's kind of interesting because this one kind of fits with today's current selfie climate. So this is 122. Carry a camera and ask strange, handsome men if they would mind snapping your picture. Now, that one actually, again, this is 1958 advice. That relates into, like, our, you know, digital, like, iPhone, Android selfie culture, right? That's, like, not so crazy.
I think, actually, that is fantastic advice. And one of the things I've done for all this 15 years is helping people write dating profiles.
Mm-hmm.
And people always say to me, I don't have any pictures of myself. I don't have the right pictures. Like, for their Instagram, they have all these group shots, which is totally not what you want for your profile.
Don't overdo it with those, yes.
Yeah, and I always say you want to be the star of your profile. So
yes.
The focus is 100% on you. Why are you going to have your girlfriend sitting next to you with her, you know, makeup done and her cute hair? Look at you're like shaking your hair. Erin's sitting here shaking her hair.
I'm like, uh-huh.
She's like, I'm going to take over your dating profile, Nona. Yeah, but you want to be the star of your profile.
Yes.
And many people don't have those solo shots that also give I call people the 3 C's, the color, the context, the character.
Ooh.
Like, that don't have the context behind them.
Mm-hmm.
You sometimes have to be mindful about going out and taking pictures specifically for your dating profile.
Totally.
So why not ask a stranger? I say be a tourist in your own town.
I love it.
Go to those landmarks, have somebody take a picture of you there, and then you get to talk to somebody.
Someone handsome.
Right. You get to talk to him. And you also get the pictures you can use for your dating profile. So it's like a twofer.
You know what? I'm surprised that Damona gave that advice, but also not surprised. Because I read it too as a dating coach, and I was like, you know what? That's not the worst. 1958. That's kind of progressive, and or it still holds. Maybe classic, timeless advice. Let's just go for it, right?
But don't be like, you know, husbands of Instagram, you know, where, like, the wives make them take 15 different pictures.
Yeah.
I totally do this to my husband.
Oh,
don't be
that.
Like, just let
we
the guy
do it, but don't be like us.
But don't be like that. For, like, a stranger that you're walking up to on the street, don't make him take it 7 times.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But, no, I think that's not bad. That's, okay, McCall's Magazine. Okay, I see you. Exactly. Okay.
Erin,
okay.
Wait. There's one I have to bring.
Do it. Tell
number
us.
Number 40.
Mm-hmm.
It says,
oh my gosh.
I can't even believe this.
I can't wait.
To read this.
I can't wait.
Stand in a corner and cry softly. Chances are good that he'll come over to find out what's wrong.
I mean, I don't even know how to process that sentence.
Or you'll just look weird and crazy and he'll just back up. I don't know. I guess a really compassionate guy might come over. But then if he says, what's wrong? Then you have to make something up. Now your whole relationship is built on a lie.
Ew, at the very least, right? But I'm literally having a visual of like at a party or something. Or like, I think just saying in regular life. So you're at the post office. And you're like, you know what? He's really cute. Oh my God. And you burst into tears in a corner with people around. And then you're hoping someone's going to come up to you. I feel like, dare I say it, in the year 2019, I don't know if someone would come over. Or right. They might call someone or like say, hey, USPS worker, there's someone over there who might need some help. I feel like that's probably what would happen.
They would take a video of you. Or like, weird lady crying at the post office. Right. Hashtag awkward.
Hashtag insta-famous. Terrible. Okay. Oh my God, listen to this one. Okay. Number 124. Make and sell toupees. Bald men are easy catches. Okay. So I have I feel like there's so much shame involved in that one. And you know what? I think bald is beautiful, to be honest. And so, can we just say, if you offered someone a toupee, I don't think they're going to want to go on a date with you.
No, you've seen all of his secrets up front.
And
a little much, but that's inventive.
Well, but you're also saying, hey, there's something kind of wrong with you or something that I think would make you better. Hi, my name's Aaron, and here's a toupee.
Yeah, I would skip that one. But there were actually some that I thought were pretty on the mark.
Yeah, okay, tell us.
Okay, so one says, practice your drinking with your women friends first. I think McCall's applies to mostly, I think they're talking mostly to women that still live at home with their parents. There's a lot in here about, like, tell your parents to go somewhere when you have
him. Lots of parental guidance.
Yeah. This is a kind of different structure.
Wait, what was this one again?
Practice your drinking, number 50, with your women friends first.
Hilarious.
Now, this is something I actually recommend to clients.
Yes.
Not to practice with your women friends necessarily, but to know your limits. Like, don't go to a date and be all sloppy and having six drinks and be like, this date went great. We slept together on the first date and...
And I don't remember it, which is a whole other can of worms. Hashtag consent, everybody. But, consensual, enthusiastic consent. But no, you're right. I agree with you. I think it's super important not to be, you want to put your best foot forward is the point, right? And so if you're drinking heavily on the first date, I don't know if you're making the best decisions. And let's be honest as well, you might not be getting the full picture of the person you're with. And I think it's really important to be clear-headed when you're on a first date with someone so you can really grasp who they are and not to mention safety. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was good advice.
That's great advice. We
know
like
your
that.
Limits.
We like that, McCall's. We like number 50.
Speaking of wine, number 72, I like that they also did some rhymes. This is like a hip-hop, 129... ways to get a man.
I love it.
Don't whine. Girls who whine stay on the vine.
Oh my gosh.
Girls who whine stay on the vine.
I mean.
Drink wine, but don't whine.
Don't you whine, you'll stay on the vine.
But that's still good advice.
It is.
Stay positive, right? Nobody wants a negative Nelly.
No, exactly. And I feel like that is still current. I mean, I feel like there's so much genderism in that though. It's like, yeah, women, you're the ones who whine and complain and men don't want to hear you whining, which no, but I don't want to hear a man whining either.
Oh,
right?
True. I coach guys too. And
totally.
And I tell them you got to stay positive.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear about your woes on a first date.
Of course,
when you get to know someone,
yes,
you can reveal more things. That was actually another one, number 85.
Yeah.
Don't tell them everything about yourself at the start. Hold something in reserve.
Excellent.
Actually, great advice, McCall's.
Yes.
People feel now like, I want to give them everything up front. I want to say everything that is wrong with me, everything that I struggled with in past relationships. I'm going to give him all the baggage. And if he picks it up and carries it, then I know he really wants to be with me.
And if he doesn't pick it up, then there's something wrong with him. Why didn't he like me?
Right.
Because there's a lot of that too sometimes.
Right.
It's like
and
you gave too much just, away.
You have to, I say someone has to earn information from you.
Yes.
And you have to, I believe in what Dr. Helen Fisher calls slow love. I think it has to evolve over time.
Yes.
And of course we hear all these stories I met him and we had a 15-hour first date.
That's
and then
exhausting.
I saw him the next day and the next day and then now we've been married forever. But you hear those stories because they're rare, right? And like, my story is not all bright and terrible. My story is not all that interesting. That it was like, well, I had my first date, and then there were 2 or 3 weeks before we had our second date. And
interesting.
Then we had another week went by, and we got to know each other slowly slowly over time, and then eventually, like 2 months later, then we had the exclusivity club. That's not interesting because it's normal. It's normal. We latch onto these other fairy tale stories.
True. That's
because
true.
Because they're unusual.
They're sexy. Norm. They're right. Like exciting. They're like a movie. All right. Those things. But you know what, Damona? I mean, can we just take a moment and appreciate the fact that Damona just told us her story of how she met her husband? I love that. And right. Actually, I feel like that is interesting that there was a huge, huge couple week gap in between the first date and second date, I think you said.
Well, I was very busy. I had some other dates lined up.
As you should. There's a dating tip about that in here. Mm-hmm. But I'll find it in a second because it relates. But no, I think that's really cute. And I think that for a lot of people that I've coached, and actually friends of mine and stuff too, if there's a break in between dates, I think sometimes people freak out. And I think it's sometimes some of my other colleagues and I talk about is the relationship escalator. There's this assumption that it's like you go from date to like 2-3 dates a week, to every weekend together, to blah, 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 to marriage. Like there's this whole like step process that we're like ingrained to expect. And if that doesn't happen, then we're like, oh no, you know? And so I kind of like that it, in some ways it's, I mean, maybe there is some of that in a good way, but in some ways I'm like, yeah, there was a gap because Damona was busy going out with other people, and good for Damona.
Yeah. And then there's also, it's not totally an escalator. Like, yes, in my relationship, it escalated like that. And many of the people that I've coached, because I have them slow it down,
mm-hmm.
it can escalate more slowly.
Yes.
But sometimes it's just like business. Like people think that business growth, I've seen all these charts where it's like people think business growth is like a straight line up.
Right.
And in reality, business growth looks like a dip down, and then the next year it's up, and the next year it's down. And that's really a relationship too.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Like there definitely were times where like 6 months in, I was like, where is this going? I don't know if I'm going to be with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And people always ask me, how did you know, or when did you know?
How did you know?
By the time, we were together like 3 years, I think, before we got engaged. By the time we got engaged, there was no question in my mind.
Yeah.
I always hear these stories of somebody saying they got proposed to and they weren't sure if they should say yes or not. And they were like, maybe.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
How do you get to the point of proposing to someone and it's like, I don't know.
You know what? Because of society. And pressure.
That we're in a rush, you think?
Yeah, or like pressure from family. I've heard, especially, you know, for those of you, some of you know, I just turned 40 this about a month or two ago, and
great,
like,
but good.
Thank you. You know, I try. I take care of myself. I try. Also, genetics, good genes.
Also, black don't crack.
I hashtag black don't crack. but yeah, a lot of people around my age, especially people I've coached around my age, is this whole thing of 40. Oh no, I thought I'd be married by now. And then the whole like, you know, biological clock of babies and stuff. And it's like, I need to do this now. And it seems less important about who they choose rather than getting to the goal of the ring and the wedding and the baby. And that's something I hear a lot. And I do get, the biological clock is no joke, but I think it always makes me a little sad when I hear someone talk in those terms, you know?
That's why I have a lot of my clients that are in that, oh my God, I've been married to my career for the last 20 years and
yes.
I'd rather be married to a man and you need to help me find him tomorrow.
Yeah.
I say, why don't we just push pause on that clock? Mm-hmm. If you can look into freezing your eggs, and there's a lot of companies out there that freeze, that pay for you for fertility treatments, pay for you to freeze your
eggs.
Yes.
Wait, seriously?
I have a client, actually, I'm seeing her tonight.
Oh my gosh.
She was married, she got divorced, I helped her with her dating profile, she's ready to give up, she found a guy, and then it wasn't working out, and then we talked about freezing her eggs, she was like, you know what, I'm gonna do that. So she went and froze her eggs.
Yeah.
And then she broke up with a guy.
Okay.
And because he wasn't sure he wanted to be the
right.
father, and he was like, I guess I could see myself living with being with you forever.
Oh, no.
And awful. I was like, this isn't an I guess situation. If you're procreating with this person.
Yeah.
So then I convinced her to give it one more try.
Mm-hmm.
She went back online, met a guy. Within 6 months, they were engaged.
Oh my gosh.
And they were married within a year of their first meeting.
Yeah.
And now.
Baby.
She took some of those eggs out of the freezer and at 41 is pregnant with her first child.
I love it.
With the right guy now. Because imagine if she had...
Terrible.
No.
No, no, I don't want to imagine that. It's a horrible, horrible thought. I mean, seriously, but people do it all the time. And again, I don't say that in a shamey way. I get it. Like, it's a very real thing. And you don't know what the future is. And there's a clock attached to, you know, babies. I get it. But it's just like, if you can do it some other way, in a way that's going to be like... feeding your soul and not make you hate. Ugh. Anyway, you're tied to that person forever if you have a kid with them. We all know this, so choose wisely.
And parenting is not for the faint of heart.
Oh my gosh,
having two of my own.
See,
it's like,
that's like a whole other show because I'm an only child and I don't have kids and not sure if I want them. And so it would be really, I've had a lot of conversations with friends of mine who do have kids. And it's a whole thing of like, I love my kid, but it's like, there's so much people don't tell you about how it changed. I know, we're totally getting off topic.
No,
it's great.
Wait, can I?
Yeah, please.
I know we're like getting off topic.
Do it, please.
But I want to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I have been getting a lot of messages from women on Instagram, Twitter, that send in questions to dates and mates that are like, I don't want kids.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I put that in my profile or say it to a guy, they either think I'm lying or they run away.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Yes. Well, I personally have met more men that want kids. Like, I've dated more men who for sure want kids. And then when I say that I'm not sure, then usually they are like, and I get it. You know, I get it. I mean, and there's a lot of women who do want kids. So why wouldn't they date someone who is on the same track as them? But yeah, it's definitely, in my life, it's been somewhat off-putting to them that I'm not, like, ready to do all the, have all the babies, you know? But then there's the other part of it, too, where even if a guy wants, let's see, even if a person wants to have kids, if someone is over-eager, especially, like, in a dating profile or, like, on the first date, even if they want kids, it can be kind of like, whoa, whoa, put the brakes on it, I'm overwhelmed. So there's this kind of sweet spot of bringing it up, but not making it so that you're like, okay, let's get to it now. Like, you know, there is a sweet spot there somewhere.
And it unfolds over time.
Yeah, I think it's good to say, if you absolutely know you don't want children, it's really important that you say that off of that. Because for some people, for a lot of people, it's a total deal breaker, right?
Wait, that was one of the points, number 83. Don't talk about how many children you want. But if the answer is zero, then
you should talk about it.
You just don't want to start family planning on your second date. Like, so anyways, his name is going to be Julian, and...
Exactly. That's maybe too much, everybody. Here's the one that I was referring to that you mentioned before. In reference to your husband. Never let him know he's the only one, even if you have to stay home one or two nights a week.
You should stay home one or two nights a week.
I agree.
Are you going out
every night? Single people, like, every night, that's exhausting.
Well, I do actually have clients that have come to me after going out, like, four nights a week on Tinder, Bumble, whatever.
That's a lot.
And they come to me in a place of dating fatigue.
Totally.
They're just over it. They're frustrated. They're like, I've been out here. And there's this feeling now with dating apps because there's such a low barrier for entry. I mean, really. Anybody can have a dating profile.
Yeah.
You just link it up with your Facebook or your Instagram, and now you're online.
Exactly.
And it used to be, when I started in this, like, you had to take time to create the profile.
Yep.
Maybe you had to do your eHarmony, like, questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
You had to really curate the photos. I had to go to FedEx Kinko's, my friend, to scan my photo to get online. Most embarrassing moment maybe of my life. But hey, it got me my husband.
Yes.
So like, the barrier for entry is so low now.
Yeah.
But what it makes people feel like, just because they're online, that they're doing something about it.
Yeah, completely.
And if you're just walking through dates without really a focus of what you're looking for, or really assessing what's not working about it and making changes.
Yeah.
you're not really online dating. You're not really looking for someone. You're just wasting time entertaining yourself and burning yourself out. Right?
Well, and I was going to say, you probably are exhausted because it's a lot of energy. I mean, even though you're possibly, hopefully, doing fun things out in the city, meeting new people, that's an exhausting thing to give energy to one person. And like, you know, some people take more, let's be honest, take more energy than others. You're giving more energy to some people than others. And so it's just a lot of energy. And if you're busy and working and entrepreneurial, like, who's got that much time? You gotta make choices. You gotta make wise choices about who you spend your time with.
Your time is your most valuable resource, and you don't get any more of it, so you have to choose who you spend it with.
A million percent. I mean, well, in everything you just said, I had like 10 other different thoughts, but there's not gonna be enough time. This is what happens with Damona and I.
How about this? What to wear on a date, Erin? This article says number 88, learn to sew and wear something you've made yourself. Would you ever do that?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I actually used to sew and make some clothes a little bit back. Way back, like junior high, high school. And I looked cute, or I thought it looked cute. But yeah, I probably wouldn't do that unless you actually are like a seamstress and have some actual skills of like, you know, what's the word? Doing wardrobe in some way. Great. But otherwise, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, and you thought they looked pretty good, but you were also in school.
Hey, Damona, I looked cute. It was like, it was like sewing on sequins to my jeans. I had my name Erin all the way down one leg of my, this is the 90s, okay?
That is advanced, but also he doesn't care. He does not care about you. Like, if he cares that much about your fashions, you probably
might not. Yeah, you might have chosen poorly.
But I like this one, 48. Men like to think that they're authorities on perfume. Ask his advice on what kind you should wear. So I agree with half of that, and I disagree with half of that.
Yeah, same.
Men do think they're authorities on, like, everything. Mm-hmm. And it makes a guy feel good to feel like he can mentor you or inform you or educate you on something.
Yeah.
Just make sure now in 2019/2020 that it is reciprocal, that you're also teaching him things. But I love the tip to ask for his advice.
Yeah.
Because that's a great opener for conversation. Yes. Like if you're in the grocery store, like, have you ever tried this brand? Which one is better? And then you just start the conversation and you're off.
I like that too. I actually give that advice all the time. There are so many ways to strike up a conversation with someone when you're out at different places. Grocery store, if you're, you know, in, I don't know what this would be now because people don't shop in department stores much, but like if you're, say, in a Macy's or something and you're around perfumes or something and there is a dude there. I don't know, it's hard now, right? Because it's like people online
shop. Can you smell my, that is so sensual.
It's so.
Can you smell this? Is this a good scent for me?
Oh, and that makes me like. Get all like hee hee because it's like so like old world like flirtiness that's not a word anyway flirtation and I love that.
I don't know why, like the inside of my arm is very intimate.
Yeah, no, completely. But see, that's the thing, you know, when I read this list initially, 1958 advice, right? And it's like there are certain things that I feel like are like classic, and I do miss. I guess I've had touches upon some of the niceties of like old world dating and such, but I feel like the kids are missing out on that in some way. And I am, people who know me personally know that I don't bash millennials and post millennials. I think they do a lot of things better than a lot of older generations in general. But I do feel like because of this digital age, and because a lot of them don't use the words dating. And don't like to go on official dates because it's kind of stressful and it's very loaded and heavy and weighted. They miss kind of the niceties of some of the old school ways of things. And I'm like, oh, but it was so fun. And you could like, it's like this whole pomp and circumstance of it all. I'm like, oh, kids, you know.
I still remember the first time I was asked out on an actual date and I was so surprised.
Oh my gosh, can you tell us?
I feel like we are the same age, Erin. And
look at you. You too. No, I love it.
But just revealed my.
Let the world know. We should. We look good. It's okay.
We look good.
Sorry. We're all like, be humble. And now look at us. Okay.
But I feel like the beginning of that was our generation of the hangout date and
totally.
Just not really knowing where it was headed.
Yeah.
And it's just been amplified now through social media.
Yes.
But I remember I was just so impressed that this guy just straight up walked up to me.
Where were you?
I was at like a mixer, I used to be a TV executive. Mm-hmm. I was at this entertainment industry mixer. I went to all the mixers. I was very social. Yep. I knew everybody. Mm-hmm. And this guy I did not know.
Yes.
Just walked straight on up to me. We were like chatting. And then he was like, I would like to take you out on a date. And I was like,
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wow. Well, when? Yes. When?
So you were enthusiastically a yes.
You weren't freaked out in any way. Because I was so impressed that he had the guts to do that.
Yes.
And that so many other guys have been like, yeah, we should hang out.
I know.
Like, let me get your number and like, maybe I'll call you and maybe I won't. And maybe maybe I ask five other girls here. He just was like honed in and was like, I'm going to take you out.
I love it.
The end of the story is not so good. I was very excited in that moment. Yeah. He was like, tomorrow. And I was like, tomorrow.
Okay.
And then he contacted me like 2 hours before the date and said, you know, something came up. I'd really love to take you out next week. Oh my God. It ended up being this whole saga.
Did you go out? We never
went out because he canceled on me and then he like came back around and asked me out again. This is a good story actually for people to hear though.
Yeah.
Then he asked me out one more time.
Right.
He like came to a party that I was throwing and then was like, I'm going to walk you to your car. And then he was all trying to kiss me. And I was like, no, dude, you have to earn this back. So he's like, I'm going to take you out properly next week. Guess what he did?
Didn't call you.
He canceled again.
I was like, I'm sorry.
We're not going to be going out. And he got so mad at me.
Of course he
like,
did.
This is work. This thing came up. And I was like, no, I have too much respect for myself to let you keep doing this. And I was really attracted to him. I thought he was really great. And... Yeah. I just wasn't going to put up with that. And that was my MO with dating for a long time. So people ask, how did I know when I met my husband? Because it was none of that foolishness.
Yes.
He treated me with respect. He did what he said he was going to do.
Yep.
He was in integrity. Mm-hmm. And the more that I got to know him, the better I liked him rather than the worse. That's how it should be.
Totally. I didn't hate him more and more every time we went out. Exactly. No, but it's true. I think dating is the way that you set the tone for how you're going to treat somebody. And if someone isn't putting their best foot forward early on, then like, I feel like there's no hope, right? But also you said so many, thank you for sharing that story. I think it was great. There's so many things there. The fact that the level of entitlement that someone can cancel on you a bunch and just assume that you're going to be available whenever they're ready to hang out. One, no, you're better than that. People, singles and everybody listening, like you're better than that. You know, it really does show somebody your level of respect for yourself if you're willing to just be like available. Like the McCall's advice was like, you know, don't be too whatever available or something, or don't have people. What is it?
Never let him know he's the only one, even if you have to stay home one or two nights a week.
Right. So the first part of that, I mean, I think it's important to have a life. So if you have a life, then you're not going to just be available every time someone calls you, especially if they've canceled on you a bunch.
And
like, you're going to have plans, and you have respect for yourself.
And have respect for yourself. Like, I wasn't necessarily doing anything when he canceled on me two hours before.
Ugh.
But
well, you were going to hang out with him.
I did my self-care, and I wasn't going to accept a substandard level of treatment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it meant that a lot of my relationships before my husband didn't last a long time. It meant that I spent a lot of Valentine's Day single.
Same. But
you have to choose. Is that how I want to spend my energy, or do I want to conserve it for someone that is going to be worthy of that?
Right. And what is the quality of this relationship going to be if the dates can't even happen?
Exactly.
Damona, we have run out of time. This has been amazing. Please tell everyone where they can find you, find more about the Dates and Mates podcast and social media and stuff. Tell us everything.
I'm on all of the socials at Damona Hoffman, D-A-M-O-N-A Hoffman. You can figure it out. There's not that many Damonas out there. And then the Dates and Mates podcast has been going 7 years strong. Not quite as long as yours, but...
No, mine's like 5.
Yeah, but you were doing like radio and...
Anyway, we're on par.
I'm giving you credit.
This is about
just
you.
Take it.
It's about you.
All right, I've been doing it seven long years every week. But I love it. I love giving advice to people. So we do like headlines, what's in the news, what new apps do you need to know about, who's dating who. I do an interview, which I have a wonderful interview with you, Erin.
Yay!
And then we also do Q&A. So I love... like giving people advice, on the fly advice, whatever you're dealing with. And it's everything from this week I have a guy that is trying to, he's trying to figure out how to date when he has a wife that is at home and ill. It's like very complicated. And then I get like lighter questions, just kind of like what we've been talking about mm-hmm. here. How, what is a good opening line
yeah.
to talk to a man? Mm-hmm. So, I'd love to hear your questions, your listeners' questions, and they can DM me their yes. questions and then listen to the Dates and Mates podcast or find me at datesandmates.com.
Perfect. Yeah, Damona's great. And it's so funny because when I was on her show, we were talking about how we've known of each other for a while and just paths hadn't crossed really. So it's just a pleasure to meet you and know you and collaborate with you. And let's face it, like just chat it up with you because like we have a lot to say and it's real fun.
Yeah, and I've been low-key stalking you on like Instagram for years.
So
it's great that we could actually
I know.
Collaborate and give some good advice. So
I know, hopefully this was helpful.
This is awesome. I hope everybody will check out what the advice is because it's interesting to see how much changes but yeah. how much actually.
It's on my IG. It's on my Instagram. So go to my Instagram at datingadvicegrl and you'll see all the 129 advice things from 1958 from McCall's magazine.
I love it. This is fun. We should do this like every week.
I think we should do. We're definitely gonna do this again. Can we just be honest about it?
Yeah, and I actually have a segment called the Romance Rollback on Dates and Mates.
Perfect.
Where I look at like old customs and how
I
they
love
change.
It. Well, so, feel free. To do that. Let's do it. Okay, Damona, a pleasure, and we'll see you soon.
And now it's time for the Consent Corner. Tips, advice, and insights from my book, The Consent Guidebook.
Chapter 4, Why No Means No is Problematic. We grew up hearing no means no, and it is our job to say no to stop someone else's actions against us. But why is the focus and responsibility put on the person whose boundaries are potentially being breached? Why aren't we doing a better job teaching individuals to be aware of their actions and showing people how not to be aggressive or pushy towards others? Not everyone has the capability to verbally say no. Consider that some people might feel frozen in fear and might not have the power to speak up and say no. Others might not have learned to feel comfortable saying no forcefully. Some people might not have the ability to communicate verbally in a way that you do. If when getting to know someone, they express a specific way that they feel most comfortable conveying yes and no, you can use that knowledge going forward when interacting with them. You can establish another mutually agreed upon way of communicating with them. Getting to know an individual's unique way of communicating can be easier when there is an established relationship, friendship, or prior interaction with that person. It's time to teach individuals how to be better at exercising self-control when it comes to boundary pushing, rather than putting all the weight on the more vulnerable person to take action when it's their boundaries that are being crossed.
The Consent Guidebook is available in paperback and ebook on Amazon, Google Books, iBook, and wherever ebooks are sold. For more info, go to theconsentguidebook.com.